are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
Live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, it's sippin' time again, and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 1:59 and three quarters.
Nope, 3 a.m. Yeah.
I can't stay up that late.
Time slot, yeah.
That's past my bedtime.
That's why we're the best thing then, because most people are asleep.
Well, actually, if I usually go to bed at 2, but by 1, yeah, by 3, I wake up, you know, to go to the bathroom. So I guess that I can do it then.
Yeah.
Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today, our Made Man Brent.
When you said bourbon show, you had me all in. Thank you.
When I said alcohol, I had you all in. Yesterday, I said barbecue judging, and I had you all in.
Oh, we were all in.
Yeah, six hours of driving, I'm in.
Yeah. I'm in. 6 hours of driving. Yep.
And Made Man Maury.
Good morning. Excited to be here with a very, very interesting lineup of unusual bourbons.
And good old boy Justin.
Good morning. A morning drinking whiskey. Cannot beat it.
Beats working for a living. So.
Hair of the dog.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Beats working for a living. So, well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and pretty much anything else you can drink. So here are the whiskeys that we're going to be discussing today. From Hirsch, we have the Hirsch Bivouac Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. We have the Hirsch Cask Strength Straight Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. We have Kentucky Owls Takumi Edition Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Woodinville Whiskey Straight Bourbon Whiskey Muscatel Finish. Yellowstone Family Recipe, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. And from Ragged Branch, we have a few. We have their Bottled and Bond Virginia Straight Rye Whiskey. We have the Virginia Straight Wheated Double Oaked Bourbon. And then we have the Bottled and Bond Virginia Straight Bourbon Double Oaked. So we're going to have Justin tell us all about our sips ratings.
So today, we have brought Red Fox back from the dead to talk to you.
Well, we are going to be talking about a Muscatel finish, so.
Exactly.
He always told Lamont to go down to the store and get him a bottle of Muscatel, so.
One sip. Lamont, give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Drink water.
That's some promise.
Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. This is interesting, but what was this again?
Interesting.
Four sips. Lamont, let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Five sips. Esther, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. Oh my God, I was unaware anything would be this good.
Nah, you
are. Oh my goodness!
Yes.
Weezy,
yes.
Baby, I'm coming for you. It's the big one. Grady, help me. Yeah. How could you possibly do Red Fox and not even mention Grady? Grady was the backbone of that damn show. I'm sorry, Grady was the man.
He was, but he was an unsung hero.
Yeah, and Aunt Esther. Oh, that was a mean woman. All right, so let's move on after that. Yeah, I do miss Red Fox, though.
Yes.
Funniest man ever.
Oh, him, Elvis and him were like best friends. Him and Elvis were tight. Later on, like, he hit trouble and had to declare bankruptcy and everything. Those heartless bastards. The heartless bastards, the IRS, took the Rolex that Elvis had given him. It's like, Elvis gave you that. Like, oh, man.
And who ended up with that?
I don't know, but I'll tell you.
Post it on Facebook.
I'll tell you, if I had money and I was of age at that time, I would have bought that thing at the auction and given it back to him.
Yeah. Your class act, Bob.
All right. So let's go on to our first whiskey, and we're going to have Maury tell us all about that one.
Thank you, Bob. First whiskey is the Hirsch The Bivouac Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 50% ABV, 100 proof, non-age stated, 160 barrels per batch. The bivouac refers to a temporary camp without a tent or cover. It alludes to a way of travel only meant for those who want to truly immerse themselves in nature.
I just stay in a hotel.
Hirsch The Bivouac honors those adventurous spirits who are brave enough to take on the road less traveled. The Bivouac combines two straight bourbons distilled in Bardstown, Kentucky, the world capital of bourbon. 95% of the blend is distilled from a mash bill of 74% corn, 18% rye, 8% malted barley, and aged 3 years and 2 months. The remaining 5% is distilled from a high malted barley mash, 72% corn, 13% rye, 15% malted barley, and aged for 8 years for added complexity. Like their previous releases, the packaging was designed by the award-winning company Stranger and Stranger. They are the folks behind the unique and innovative look of Compass Box. The flask-shaped bottle features a wooden top cork stopper and the compass marks, while the label features a color scheme that evokes a nautical map and other visual references to travel and exploration. The base of the bottle hides a message for the curious: no stone left unturned.
Oh, yeah, it's there. Look. Yep. Pretty cool, huh?
Very cool.
It's a Stranger and Stranger, I think, probably the most innovative people when it comes to bottle design and campaign design. I mean, what they've done with Compass Box is just stunning.
Yeah, this is nowhere near what Compass Box is in terms of the elaborate and complexity.
I mean, it's beautiful packaging. Compass Box is like
another world. Yeah. So this whiskey has a beautiful copper color. On the nose, initially I got a lot of alcohol. All I really got was
You're sitting next to Brent. I mean,
fumes of,
just,
of alcohol.
Leaches out of his pores at this point.
Well, that's blown off a little bit. I must admit, the alcohol vapors really overpower anything that's discernible on the nose. As far as the palate goes, it's a really nice whiskey. It's got a really nice mouthfeel. It's got a beautiful viscosity. It's got typical notes of, you know, burnt toffee and burnt sugar, hint of oak and vanilla. Finish is relatively short. I think it's an interesting whiskey. It's very well made. It's not going to win any major contests in terms of being your favorite, but it's definitely an easy drinker, easily approachable, and I really thought a relatively nice effort. What did you think, Justin?
So on the nose, I definitely got a note of envelope glue, but that blew off after time. And then I got green grapes, rye, brioche bread, and a little bit of cinnamon on the palate. Spice, more cinnamon, which blew off over time. Oak, evergreen, and caramel. And I found the finish was hot and long in the beginning, but after letting air do it for a while, the finish shortened. I don't know why, but I thought it was pretty good.
Envelope glue disappeared after I licked it.
You know, I got an interesting aroma of steel horseshoe, a piece of rope, and you know, a plastic water bottle container. You're like, where does he come up with this? I swear.
Oh, that's why you put the water in plastic. No wonder I got plastic water bottle container. Can I please request my water in a glass?
Here's the problem.
From now
this is why he's doing it. He's sniffing the glue.
Yes.
Okay. I've been sniffing the glue for a long time, my friend.
Yeah, so
That's why I'm an expert on all glues, Elmer, wood, envelope.
PVC pipe, cement.
PVC pipe, cement.
Airplane glue. Yeah. It's it's an interesting whiskey. It's well put together. I get brown butter and honey and some kind of slightly dusty oak on the nose. And on the palate, I get brown sugar. I get burnt toffee. I get a bit of a coffee note on the exhale. Kind of a mocha, kind of a coffee note. Like a latte, kind of creamy coffee. Interesting whiskey. What do you think, Brent?
It is interesting.
There is a hint of coffee on the exhale.
Yeah. Just when you breathe out. After you take a sip of a latte and then you exhale, that's it.
It's just a weird combination of flavors to deal with initially. You know, you have that, I got a honey and
rye. That's what she said.
Yeah, I got honey and rye, but then, you know, I got the coffee. I got vanilla, pepper, a lot of oak. You know, it's...
For those of you in radio land, we're spraying each other with water bottles.
No, I'm getting sprayed with water. That's all.
It's not you, it's me.
I'm just trying to see if you can keep a straight face while you're talking about this whiskey.
No, for me, I don't think it's one that I would drink straight. I think it's more one I would put with a mixer, you know. So I know you guys say that I never mix anything.
I was about to say, when did that happen?
Well, hypothetically, if you weren't going to drink it straight,
right.
I gave him a 40-year-old Macallan and he mixed it with 7-Up, so that doesn't really mean a lot. But
well, it's still good. Just made the best 40-year-old Macallan and 7 ever.
Yeah.
We got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
It's the 40 and 7.
Yeah.
It's not the 7 and 7.
Yeah, but on the palate, really, the oak and the pepper came through for me the most. That was what I took from this one, but...
I found this one not to be quite as young as the next expression. I really thought that their cask strength came off much younger, whereas this whiskey had a little bit more maturity to it.
Unlike everyone at this table?
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you think, Bob?
Well, I already did mine. It definitely an interesting... Yeah. Right in the toilet. We've already gone. What are we? About 11 minutes in. So,
can
an interesting
tell us
whiskey.
The second show.
They've done a couple of different releases, and they've all been very different. So that's, I've kind of enjoyed that. And again, their packaging is pretty. So we're going to rate the Hirsch Bivouac a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
And crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, we're back, and we were just discussing the Hirsch Bivouac. We gave that a well-deserved 3 sips. So we're going to move on to our second whiskey from the guys at Hirsch, and we're going to have Brent tell us all about that one.
Thanks, Bob. The second whiskey is the Hirsch, the Cask Strength Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 63.5% ABV, 127 proof, non-aged. Woohoo, for sure. To create this expression, the folks at Hirsch selected 54 barrels of the 6-year-old bourbon, distilled and aged in Bardstown, Kentucky. These barrels were then transferred to 30-year-old Hein cognac casks for a further 18 months of finishing. The bourbon used in this expression had a mash bill of 72% corn, 13% rye, 15% malted barley. The color on this one is a much darker, you know, copper color that you're getting, older copper penny or something. And, you know, on the nose, I got like old cherries, just a lot of fruit, a lot of citrus, a little bit of like a vanilla ice. You know, when you get that shaved vanilla ice, you get that smell that comes off of it.
Do you drink this when you're cruising in your 5.0?
Oh, I must
say.
You know?
Ice, baby.
So on the palate, the first thing I thought when I tasted this was like, whoa, wow, this really hits you. And I was like, this is like a, because of all the fruit that's in it, it's like a sangria that you made with bourbon and on steroids, you know? So it really kind of hits you. The fruit is really overpowering. The proof is overpowering. It tends to have a long finish. You got that. It's just fruit, hard dried fruits that come through.
The fruit actually, if you put a little water in it, the fruit actually comes a little more forward, even more.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yep.
Justin, what do you have for this one, Justin?
I would say stop, collaborate, listen. Now, I really love this. You took some 6-year-old Hirsch bourbon, which I'm sure on its own was fine. And I've never had Hein cognac cask, but
it's Hein XO. Yeah, it's a very good cognac. I probably got some around here somewhere.
This just blew me away.
Really?
Blew me away. I love these dusty notes.
We have medication for that, you know?
Yeah. It kind of, what amazed me about this is it had like this dusty quality to like a lot of the older pre-prohibition bourbons that I've had before. And I got that note, and I love that note, and that's a rare note. Usually I got to spend an arm and a leg to get it.
It's funny that you thought I had this dusty old note. I thought this whiskey tasted young.
That
it's
is
older than the other one, but for me, it just came across as just young.
Maybe the cognac note, because that's aged, brought forth age for me.
Yeah, maybe.
And the palate had like some vibrancy, and then the finish went right back to the
dusty.
Maybe
it's that week-long pair of underwear you've been wearing that added some age to your profile today.
There's no doubt about that. What'd you think, Bob?
He's not wearing underwear. He never wears underwear.
Well, at least he wears pants.
You know, I don't wear pants.
Brent does not. I wear pants and underwear, exactly.
Like in Stripes when Bill Murray goes up. He goes, all right, chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. And when I do, it's usually something exotic. So, I definitely get the cherry notes on it. I on the nose, before I added water, I got lemon meringue. That was the thing that I got on top of the cherry. I definitely get the fruit. Mm. On the front palate, it's kind of a fruit bomb. Stone fruit. I get a little bit of the juicy fruit, kind of jackfruit. I get a little bit of a raisiny note to it.
The water definitely turned it into a fruit bomb. Honestly, before water, I couldn't really pull out all that much fruit, but wow, the water fruited it up.
Oh, yeah, like huge. Like it's a fruit salad now.
Like I said, it's a sangria that you're, and so it's not, doesn't have all the characteristics of a bourbon to me.
And then on the back, I get like a green pepper spice, almost like a sort of a vegetal jalapeno kind of green pepper spice on the back.
Yeah.
On the
like
exhale.
A green jalapeno.
Yeah.
It just burped some and I got a lot of all jalapeno.
Yeah.
God damn it. I thought that was the dog. I didn't know I was your burp.
Yeah. Yep.
Stuff we got to put up with.
But
jalapeno burps.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I not quite as much as him, but I thought it was a step up from the first one, definitely. So, but you know, it's a group vote, so you know, it's majority rule. So, we're going to be rating the Hirsch Cask Strength Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey 3 sips.
Interesting.
And Justin's like, you guys are so wrong. So let's go on to our next whiskey, which is from Kentucky Owl. It's the Kentucky Owl Takumi Edition, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 50% ABV, 100 proof, no age statement. The Kentucky Owl Takumi Edition is a collaboration between master blenders John Ray from Kentucky Owl and Yasuki Yahisha from the Nagahama Distillery in Japan. This limited edition release was meant to showcase Kentucky bourbon through the eyes of Japanese blending techniques. John Ray selected four different whiskeys to send to Japan, and yeah, he says evaluated these samples, which represented different ages and mash bills available from Kentucky Owl. He then created different blends with these formulations to develop the one most reflective of his Japanese whiskey style. Through his blending skills, the Nagahama Distillery has earned awards from the San Francisco World Spirits Competition, the International Spirits Competition, and the World Whiskey Awards. John Ray has previously served as Four Roses Chief Distilling Operating Officer, and he was inducted into the Kentucky Bourbon Hall of Fame in 2016 and served as chair of the Kentucky Distillers Association Board of Directors. So let's take a taste here. So on the nose, it's rye bread. It's just rye bread, rye bread, rye bread all day long. It's like walking into a bakery as they're pulling the loaves of rye out of the oven.
Yeah.
And then it's got underneath it kind of a sticky, kind of dulce de leche kind of note to it. And a little bit of fruit. And on the palate, let's have a taste here. On the palate, rye bread, caramel, apples, pears. There's not really much in the way of tannin on it. But again, when you have a Japanese blender, I pretty much expected that to be gone. But it's got a really nice mouthfeel, coats the tongue and the roof and the sides of the mouth. A little bit of cinnamon on the back palate and a medium finish. What did you think, Brent?
Yeah, you can see where they tried to incorporate the two styles together. You can really see that with this. We were fortunate enough to be up in Kentucky when they had the release party for this. And it's intriguing of how they did it. Mm-hmm. You know, what the process that they use. So they're not trying to be a bourbon. They're not trying to be a Japanese whiskey, but they wanted some of the qualities of both of them to shine through. And I think they've actually done that with this. When you say that rye, I get like a rye bread with cherries. Like, why would somebody do that? But, you know, you're combining two different things. And on the palate, that rye bread, the cinnamon, a little bit of caramel from that you would get from a bourbon, and some pear that you would get from a Japanese style. I think it kind of works for them. I mean, I know they're trying different things, and this is nice.
Well, it's interesting to see them apply the Japanese techniques and blending styles to American bourbon to see them how it affects.
Right.
The bourbon, you know, how can you turn bourbon into something with a Japanese style to it? And they have, you know, they absolutely have. So it's kind of hard when you judge this. You can't judge it on a regular bourbon because it's not a regular bourbon. Right. You can't judge it on a Japanese whiskey because it's not a Japanese whiskey.
Right.
It's sort of its own little, it's on that line, and it's straddling the line. But I think they did a really good job with it. I think the blender really did a great job with it from, you know, him to be able to coax this all out of it. So, and then when we were at the event, we got to see the pictures of the new distillery that they're working on. So hopefully that'll be up
Kentucky
and running.
The Kentucky Owl Distillery,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty. So,
yeah, very much so.
What do you think, Justin?
So, you know those packs of cinnamon, not that cinnamon, the peppermint sticks, and they have like the different flavors. This was like the red cinnamon peppermint stick for me.
No, Brent knows nothing of those. He had a horrible childhood, and his parents didn't love him. So thanks for bringing that up. Now look at him. He's over in the, now he's in the corner, and he's crying. I hope you feel better. Yeah, good for you.
Well,
good for
you. Criminal defense lawyer, so of course I feel nothing. But I did get that buttery rye bread note that you got on the nose and the finish. I think it was really cool. They tried something totally different. And I think they accomplished what they tried to do. So, well done, Kentucky Owl. What'd you think, Maury?
I agree with you. I think they accomplished what they set out to do. I would argue that it's a jack of all trades, master of none. I would have rather had a more robust bourbon or a more robust Japanese whiskey. And to me, this is a compromise. And so while I think they accomplished what they set out to do, It just fell a little bit short for me. I think it's well made. I applaud the innovation. I applaud the effort. I think it's a great made whiskey. But honestly, I just felt like it was a
compromise. It's not for everyone.
I think definitely
it was a compromise all the way around.
I think it fell short of what it could have been or what it could possibly be, you know? I mean, and because it's a combination of the two, I don't know that they were really meant to be combined and as a mainstream item. So this is, it's not for everybody. It is for a lot of people, though.
It's, you know, if you're a fan of Kentucky Owl, it's a must-have because, you know, you want to have one of each release. And I think, again, like we said, we all think the same thing. They did a really good job with what they did. It may not be a style that appeals to, you know, everyone, but I think they did a good job. And if you like Kentucky Owl, absolutely pick one of these up.
Sure.
You're not going to be disappointed.
So. Right.
We're going to write the Kentucky Owl Takumi edition a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
So we're going to have Justin tell us about our next whiskey.
Can't wait.
So,
oh, yeah, you can wait. Come on.
The next whiskey we're going to talk about is by Muscatel.
It's a Woodinville Whiskey Straight Bourbon Whiskey Muscatel Finish. 50% alcohol by volume, 100 proof. It's aged 5 years. Mash bill of 72% corn, 22% rye, 6% barley. The bourbon is finished for several months in a 10-year-old, 200-gallon Muscatel de Setubal pipes. Muscatel Setubal is a sweet, rich, fortified dessert wine made primarily with Muscat de Alexandria grapes grown on the Setubal Peninsula in southern Portugal. Fans of our show have heard us discuss Woodinville in past episodes. Woodinville Whiskey Company was created by two friends with the guidance and mentorship of the legendary Dave Pickerel. Rest in peace.
I miss you, Dave.
He told us to get a better job if we couldn't afford the whiskey he made, and he was right because
he should have done that.
Yeah. Their grain is grown exclusively for them on the Omlin family farm in Quincy, Washington, matched and distilled in their distillery in Woodinville, Washington. The new make is then trucked over the Cascade Mountains to their aging warehouses in central Washington. So the color of this is light. The nose is dried apricot and orange peel.
What? Like
Oompa Loompas.
Don't drink this alcohol at home, kids.
You racist bastard. What's wrong? You don't like Oompa Loompas? You hate chocolate? Is that it? You chocolate-hating commie bastard?
I'm pretty sure I saw the Oompa Loompas on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I've managed to get canceled from everywhere the same shot.
Yeah, now you've been canceled from Loompa Land.
Yeah.
Great. Awesome.
Candy, ginger.
It's our biggest market.
I'm sure it is. Clove, cinnamon, licorice, and spearmint on the palate. I got some honey, toffee, vanilla, dried fruit, citrus notes, candied nuts, clove, and a little touch of fennel.
And that's a mouthful.
And the finish, to quote another show, dynamite. I loved it. What'd you think, Maury?
Well, it's hard to follow that intro. I thought it was an interesting whiskey. I can't say that I've had too many Muscatel finished whiskeys. The color, I love the color. It's a beautiful burnt copper. I agree with you about the apricot and the orange peel and the ginger and clove and cinnamon on the nose. Again, interesting nose. The palate was a little sweet for me. Again, I did get all the things that you talked about, especially the dried fruits and the ginger and the candy nuts and clove. I thought the finish was relatively short. It's an interesting whiskey. I think it was fun. I think it's innovative. I think it's really cool. I think if you don't have a Muscatel finish in your collection, this might be the one. I'm just not sure Muscatel and bourbon work super well together. I love finished whiskeys. This was not my first choice of a finished whiskey. But I think it was fun. I think it was interesting. I think there's nothing inherently wrong with it. It just didn't really match my typical flavor profile.
Brent?
Yes, it's not my flavor profile. That apricot kind of takes it away from me, takes away, I think, the, you know, you want to have something enhance your bourbon. I don't know that this enhanced it and went well, blended well.